Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Journey of Faith. My name is Krista Reyna, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at the church. If it is your first time joining us, I'm so glad that you're here. You should know that we are one church that meets in two locations. So right now, we are connecting live with our Torrance campus, which is over on Lomita Boulevard. So good morning to everybody over at Torrance. I'm glad that we can be together in this way. In this series, this is the fourth message in this series called Finding Your Rhythm, where we are looking at the different patterns and habits that we have in our lives. And we all do have things that kind of form us in our lives. And so the question becomes not whether do we have rhythms, the question becomes, do the rhythms that we have, do they cause us to have flourishing lives? Do they cause us to be more like Jesus? And in this series, we've been looking at some of the different practices that Jesus had in his life. And if he practiced these things, we should definitely also try to practice them as well. So far, we've looked at these three things. We've talked about reading the Bible in week one. Week two, we talked about prayer. And then last week, Pastor Jason shared a message with us about rest and Sabbath. If you saw that message, I hope that you did find some rest for yourself this last week. All of these messages are online if you've missed any of them. If we want to follow Jesus and if we want to become more aware of his presence in our life, each one of these spiritual rhythms really does require a certain amount of self-denial. So for example, if you want to spend time with God, you probably need to lower the volume of the things going on in your life. So for example, instead of listening to the radio or your favorite podcast on your way into work, spend that time in prayer. Or before you go to bed at night, instead of watching TV or scrolling on your phone, pick up your Bible and just read it for a few minutes. This type of self-denial can be challenging at times. I know that self-denial is not one of my strengths. I'm the kind of person that when I'm placing an Amazon order for things that we need around our home, I have to add something a little fun to the cart. So sometimes I order colored markers. You know, right now it's Easter, so some pastel gel pens, or I'll order a new lip gloss, things like that. But there is one time a year when I do like pretty well at denying myself of things that I don't need. It's around the beginning of the year. So at the beginning of the year, January 1st rolls around, and I set an intention to really try to focus on things that I need instead of things that I don't need. So for example, I'll set an intention to not buy another lip gloss until I use the four that are rolling around in the bottom of my purse. I set an intention to drink more water and less coffee, and like a lot of us, I set an intention to make better choices with my eating. So it starts out really good. I'm pretty strong. You know, January hits, and I'm eating fruits and vegetables, protein, and I'm having some snacks and sweets along the way because it's all about balance. And it's going good. And then something happens around February 1st that just derails all my good intentions. It's something that happens here in the United States every year in February. Does anybody know what happens in February that causes us to get derailed? Valentine's candy, that's a good one, but I'm thinking of Girl Scout cookies. So here they are. Ah, Girl Scout cookies. And the thing is, I support Girl Scouts. I just want to say, like, they empower girls. We should buy the cookies that they're selling. It's all good things. But for me, I'll eat a whole roll, a whole container, not the container, but like a sleeve of Thin Mints while watching like an episode of Outlander, you know, and it's not good. And it's a really kind of relatable and it's a funny story. But the reality is I sometimes depend on those Thin Mints instead of depending on God. I have a really hard time denying myself things that I don't really need in this life. And many of us, we have things in our lives that we have a difficult time denying ourselves of. Maybe it is food. For some of it's spending money that we don't have on things that we don't need. Or maybe we rely on finding an escape when we don't want to face the realities of life. And when we have a hunger or a craving in our lives, a lot of times what we do is we try to satisfy it as quickly as possible. And we do live in a culture that encourages us to chase after the next satisfying thing, or it encourages us to buy that thing that will supposedly make our lives all better, where we will find peace and wholeness. And enjoyment isn't wrong. Please know this. God actually created us to enjoy good things. But the challenge is, things don't always draw us closer to God. In fact, sometimes when we give in to our temptations, it can actually cause us to not rely on God, or we kind of numb ourselves to the fact that we do need God in our lives. But what if hunger could actually teach us something? What if those moments when we have a craving are moments where we turn to God, or we turn to others in our lives? And so that's our main idea for today. We can let our hunger draw us closer to God and others. Now, I want to challenge you throughout this message today to see the hungers and the cravings in your life not as something that you need to like conquer on your own, or that you need to have a lot of willpower for. I want you to see them as things that God can use in your life, that God can work through in your life, so that you can be closer to Him, so that you can depend on Him. One of the ways Christians have been practicing this for thousands of years is through the practice of fasting. Now, fasting is the voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. Even though fasting is very common in the Christian faith, we don't actually talk a lot about it here at Journey of Faith. And I've been thinking about that this week. Like, why don't we talk about fasting more? I think one of the reasons might be that some of us have a complicated relationship with food. Some of us have had food insecurity in our lives, and we haven't had enough to eat. Others have tried diets and different kinds of eating plans in our lives, and sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. And in the midst of that, our relationship to food kind of gets muddied, and it becomes complicated. There are people that have had real, hard, difficult challenges with eating. It has caused them to have disordered eating. And if that's you, it takes a lot of strength and a lot of courage to heal from that. So please know that today, God's invitation to us is not about returning to bad or unhealthy patterns. God's invitation for us is that we would grow closer to Him, that we would depend on Him greater to fulfill our hunger and our cravings. Today, I am going to broaden the definition of fasting a little bit, because fasting might not be appropriate for everyone. Know that I'll be talking a lot about fasting from food, but I'll give you guys also some examples along the way of different things that you can fast from, because God has a strong desire that we would be devoting and leaning on Him when we have cravings and hungers in our life. So here's the first thing I want you to consider as we think about fasting today. Let fasting help you recognize your dependency on God. Throughout the Bible, we read many stories of people fasting for different reasons. Sometimes they fasted because they needed to repent. They needed to say sorry to God and ask for forgiveness. Other people fast in the Bible when they are seeking wisdom. We even see sometimes whole communities fasting together when they needed direction from God. Fasting helped them in each one of these situations focus their attention on Him. One of the best examples of somebody fasting in the Bible is from Jesus Himself. We're going to look at a story today where Jesus went away for a pretty lengthy period of time to be alone with God. And this passage of scripture, we talked about it in week one of this message as it related to depending on the word of God that we read in the Bible. This today, I'm going to be talking about dependence on God. This story that I'm going to read for some context, it happened right after Jesus was baptized. And the baptism, it indicated that He was about to start His earthly ministry. And I'm always kind of surprised by what he does after he gets baptized, because I'm like, well, he's ready. He's been baptized. He's going to go out and he's going to preach the good news. He's going to heal people and share stories. But that's not what he does right away. Right after he gets baptized, he goes and he spends time with God. And here's what happens to Jesus. We read it, for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and he became very hungry. And during that time, the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." So a couple of things to note. I'm not going to ask you to fast for 40 days. Somebody after service, last service, did tell me that they fasted for 40 days, and it's quite an experience. You should have medical care when you do that. So we're not going to do that. The second thing is, when it speaks about the devil here, this is not, the pitchfork and horns kind of cartoon character that we might think of. This is actually a real spiritual enemy that can tempt us away from dependence on God. And after Jesus, he'd been fasting for 40 days, he was facing real temptation. He was very vulnerable. He was extremely hungry. And that's going to be important for us to know as we listen to the story today, because when we are in vulnerable positions, we will be tempted as well. But let's listen to how Jesus responds to what the spiritual enemy says to him. "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Jesus refuses to satisfy his hunger. What he's doing here is he is relying on God for the strength that he needs to get through this difficult time. He relies on God to give him nourishment. Now, we can see stories like this, and we can think, of course, Jesus could fast for 40 days. Of course, Jesus could face temptation from an enemy and not give in, because Jesus is God. And yes, that is true. Jesus is God. And Jesus is also fully human. That means that the temptations he experienced are like our temptations, and he understands the temptations that we have in our life. He also doesn't say in that passage that bread is bad or that food is bad. It's definitely not. God gave us food to enjoy. He gave it to us for nourishment. Remember the Thin Mint story I shared with you? When I'm feeling stressed, I'll actually eat the whole box of Thin Mints, and I don't have a lot of spiritual reflection or depending on God in that moment. Maybe you have things like that in your life. Maybe it's not food, but maybe it's a different pattern in your life where you are seeking escape or spending money, or maybe even you're just bored. What do you turn to in those times? When we read what Jesus did, it should motivate us to want to break those rhythms in our life that don't serve us. That's what Jesus did. He intentionally made a choice to create this rhythm where he depended on God. And when we begin to interrupt unhealthy rhythms in our life, we begin to realize that we do not need to turn to unhealthy things for satisfaction. We learn we can turn to God for satisfaction in our lives. So here's our first action step. You can see it coming. It's experiment with one simple act of biblically based fasting this week. I say biblically based because this is not about fasting for weight loss or fasting for our appearance. Some of you do intermittent fasting, and if that's the case for you, I would love for you to consider how that type of fasting could be more devoted to God. What is this going to look like for us very practically? Well, for some of you, it's going to look like you fast from one meal this week. And during that meal, you could spend time listening to worship music or praying, talking to God, reading your Bible. Maybe you go down to the beach and you soak in the sun and you just admire God's beautiful creation that we have here in the South Bay. Some of you might consider fasting for a whole day. Fasting for a day looks like fasting from sunrise to sunset. In the Hebrew tradition, they would say that you fast until you see the first three stars in the sky, and that could be challenging for us because of the light pollution here, but it gives you a general idea of when your fast should end. And if you are not able truly to fast from food, fast from something that normally draws your attention. Is it your phone? Is it playing video games or watching YouTube videos till all hours of the night? Whatever it might be, replace that with this devotion to God. And when you fast, if it doesn't go the way you had planned, that's okay. Let's say you're 3 hours into a full day's fast and you eat a cheeseburger. It's okay. God forgives you. It's not a big deal. Or if a friend calls you up and they're like, hey, I haven't had lunch with you in a long time. You want to go get lunch? I'd love to talk and catch up. Go have lunch with your friend. You can pick fasting back up. This is about, it's more about having a heart posture that's open to God and less about the legalism of it. I want to share a few things to keep in mind while you're fasting. Here's the first one. Keep it simple. Start simple. You don't have to do even a full day fast. Just try that fasting for a meal and see what comes up for you. Kind of enjoy the time. Like I said, go down to the beach, drink water, take good care of yourself. The other thing is to check your motives when you fast. Jesus was super clear about checking our motives when we fast. Here's what he said to some religious leaders of his day. When you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, those are the religious leaders, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, this is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you're fasting except for your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Jesus was saying that when you fast, it's about a connection between you and God. I'm going to share a little story about a beloved coworker that I have here at Journey of Faith. This week, I walked into her office, and she had a giant bag of Tootsie Rolls on her desk, and there weren't very many left in the bottom. And I said, oh my goodness, I haven't seen Tootsie Rolls in a long time. And she's like, she kind of crumpled in her chair. She's like, I know. She's like, I had a really rough week. I've been busy, and so I'm just eating these Tootsie Rolls. And then she kind of perked up, and she was like, but you're teaching on fasting this Sunday. She's like, you're going to tell us to fast. And I was like, yeah, that's going to be one of the action steps. And she's like, good, because I can finally stop eating these Tootsie Rolls. And I was like, okay, girl, you know, whatever you got to do. But the reality is we shouldn't fast because we want to stop eating Tootsie Rolls or whatever it is in your life. We fast because we want to direct our attention to God. So that when we have a rough week, or when we're tired and worn out or stressed, instead of turning toward Tootsie Rolls or whatever it is for you, we turn toward God in those times. Check your motives when you're fasting. Here's the other thing. You should notice what surfaces during your fast. When you fast, you will likely experience a lot of different emotions. You might be frustrated. You might be irritated. Everybody around you might be bothering you. And some of those emotions that surface for you, they can be really challenging. Those are emotions that you take to God. In Christian spiritual formation, we talk about something called the hidden heart. And the hidden heart is kind of the things that are at the very depth of our soul that really only God knows about. And these are things that when we experience stress, anxiety, hunger, the things that are deep within your hidden heart there's a strong possibility that they are going to come up for you. You might have realized by now, as I've been talking about Thin Mints and the way I eat them, that I am an emotional eater. And so this is one of the biggest challenges for me when I fast, because food is a way that I find comfort. What is that thing that you find comfort in your life? When you experience these really strong emotions, those are invitations to go directly to God. And that's the fourth point I want to share with you. Let hunger direct you to God. You don't want to just sit in strong emotions without letting God know what you're feeling. Cry out to him. If you are starving, say, God, I am starving and I'm irritated and everything is bothering me and I feel angry right now. God can receive and handle all of the things that you are feeling. Cry out to him. Some of the things that you realize you crave during this time are things that you should continue talking to him about. For some of us, we crave attention. Now, getting attention and receiving affirmation in our lives, it isn't wrong or bad. In fact, those are good things. But if you are in a space where you don't receive the kind of attention that you want, does it cause you to question your own self-worth? If that's the case, talk to God about that because your worth is found in God alone. Some of you are going to find that you crave control. Do you have a sense that you want to have your hand in every single thing going on in your life, in your family, in your kids, at your workplace, with your friends? And if you don't have control over those things, is it hard for you to function? Use this as an opportunity to ask God to help you surrender things in your life to him. This last one that might come up is pleasure. Do you seek pleasure in times of stress, anxiety, frustration in such a way that you practice or you do this one thing? I don't know what it is for you, but whatever that is, does it only satisfy you for a few moments? This kind of pleasure that we seek in our life, it doesn't satisfy the deep hungers that we have in our soul. God satisfies those things in our life. Go to Jesus. Because like I said earlier, Jesus is fully human. And he understands exactly what you go through. And he looks at each one of us and he says, I see you. I know that this is really hard, and I am right here beside you. Jesus is with you in the midst of all of the things that we experience in our lives. So try fasting. Allow it to help you grow in a deeper dependence on God. There's one more thing I want to share about fasting. Throughout the Bible, we don't just fast. The examples in the Bible, they teach us not to just fast for ourselves, but to actually fast out of love for others. And so here's our second point today. Let fasting remind you of God's love for others. When we fast, we should use it as an opportunity to think about the people around us and the people in this world that don't have all of the comforts that we have in our lives. Love for one another has been a key point in this sermon series because Jesus tells us to love others. He tells us to love our neighbor. He tells us even to love our enemies. The story I'm going to share as an example for this is in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet that God spoke to thousands of years ago, and Isaiah gave messages to the Israelites. So in the history of Israel, there were times in their history where they were doing all the things that they thought God wanted them to do. They were checking off the boxes. They were going to temple. They were fasting. But they were doing it for religious purposes. They weren't really doing it out of connection to God. And as they're doing this, they start to realize that God's not paying much attention to him and to them, and they get pretty frustrated. And so they cry out to God, and here's what they say. We fasted before you. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves and you didn't even notice. Like, oh, I just read that and it's so uncomfortable. Because this goes back to the motives. Their motives were totally off. They were fasting for the wrong reasons. And I love God's response to them. He says, I'll tell you why. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? Their fasting was not creating more compassion in them. It was not creating a sense of justice or love in their lives. God goes on to tell them, this is how I want you to fast. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Jesus is calling them to action. God is reminding his people that spiritual practices aren't meant to just end with us. They are meant to move us toward something, towards an action. And so here's our second action step for today. Prayerfully consider one way your self-denial could benefit someone else. We should hear this story. We should look at what happens in the world around us, and we should feel compassion, and we should also do something about it. So here's what that could practically look like for us. This first thing, when you fast, pray for others when you feel hungry. Spend that time praying for family members who are going through a difficult time. Pray for our community, our country. Pray for our church. Pray that people would know Jesus so that they can have true peace in their lives. And remember, Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. Ask God to draw close to them so they can know who Jesus is in their lives. Ask God to bless them. Here's the second thing. It's also related to prayer. Use the time you normally spend eating to pray. So during your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, whatever meal you decide to skip, pray for people that skip meals every day, not because they're fasting, but because they don't have food on their tables. Here's the third thing. Give the cost of a meal to someone in need. Add up the money that you save when you don't have a meal and give it to somebody that needs food or that needs clothing or that needs shelter. Generosity is a byproduct of fasting. It can be. And here's the fourth thing. Look for a small way to bless someone this week. When you're super hungry, bless somebody else. It's going to kind of distract you in a way from the hunger. Is there somebody in your life that could use encouragement? Just like a simple pick-me-up, a text, or maybe a coffee or something like that. Use this as an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. Fasting shifts our focus. It shifts the focus away from ourselves to others. We're going to close in a few minutes. We're going to have a song in a moment. I have one more thing to share with you about fasting, but I want to go over what we talked about today before that. We can let our hunger draw us closer to God and others. Let fasting help you recognize your dependency on God, and let fasting remind you of God's love for others. Before the bands come out here at Manhattan Beach and over at Torrance, I want to share one more thing with you. When Jesus ended his 40 days of fasting, something really neat happened. Angels came and they took care of him. And it doesn't say exactly how they took care of him, but I can imagine they probably brought him water, a simple meal. Maybe they took him someplace where he could feel safe and be warm. There was care at the end of his fast. And so when you fast and you break that fast, that's where we get the word breakfast from, because we break our fast from overnight. When you break your fast, make sure that you care for yourself. Now, angels probably aren't going to come down and care for you, but care for yourself like an angel would. Drink water, maybe have some broth. Prepare a lovely meal for yourself. And while you're eating it, thank God for the good gift that you have through connection with him. Thank him for the many blessings in your life. Be very, very kind to yourself. I'm going to pray for us before the band comes out. We're going to sing a song today that is all about dependence on God. So as you sing it, make it like a prayer to God for yourself, a prayer that reminds you of how you can depend on God in your lives. Let's stand at both campuses and I'll pray. Loving Jesus, thank you so much that we are able to depend on you in our lives. Thank you that we can bring the aspects of our lives that challenge us to you. We can bring the hungers and the cravings and the desires that we have in our life. We can bring those to you because you understand us and you listen to us and you have so much empathy for us. Thank you for that. Jesus, I pray for everyone listening to this message today, that as they practice fasting, that it would draw them so close to you that they would no longer have a desire for the things in their life that don't depend on you. Jesus, you are wonderful and you are mighty and good and you are holy, and we love you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.